T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now we approach 3 o'clock on The Fan. Evan and Tiki on this very, very busy Monday. You may have heard there was some kind of incident here on the radio station on Friday, right at the top of the show, and it has been an internal matter. Me and Spike met with our boss, the architect, before the show in a very nice conversation.
Wow, you got the architect involved?
I didn't get anybody involved.
Spike, okay? You got the architect involved?
The architect made himself involved.
Oh, got it.
I would agree with
him. I'm glad I was not here.
Yeah, the architect made himself involved, yeah. and we had a nice meeting. And I have accepted that I will be serving a reasonable penalty for my transgressions from Friday. But I do have a statement to read. Spike, I am truly sorry for some of the horrible things I said about you, Sir Spike Eskin. Calling you a dildo head, can't believe I said that. Calling you a dildo head was wrong, over the top, and uncalled for. I'm also pretty sure that your dad does indeed love you. Please forgive me for crossing the line with such a good boss like yourself. After talking to the architect, I do realize my transgressions, and I will accept a reasonable penalty for what I did. Signed, Evan Roberts.
It's my turn?
Yes.
When I was on the Evan and Tiki show on Friday, I used language and phrasing that was not appropriate. Given my management position, it is unbecoming to discipline an employee in front of others, and in this case, in front of you, the listener. In truth, I have no idea whether Evan's family likes it when he's home, so I will not speculate on that, and I apologize for doing so. I also should not comment on Evan's appearance, as I know that that can be a sensitive issue for some. Evan, I hope you, as well as Tiki, Tommy, and Sean, can forgive me for my outburst. Whether Evan should have been at work or not is no reason to behave in that manner. WFAN and its employees deserve more respect than I showed on Friday. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right, and there he goes. There's Spike Eskin. So I think it's all been solved.
Okay.
Real good.
Quick and easy.
I am serving some kind of penalty. I don't know what that penalty is. It will happen soon, I guess. But I understand that maybe there was some miscommunication along the way.
Penalty, like a financial penalty, or just like a not being able to sit in the chair penalty?
I have not been told any details about the penalty other than that, as the architect said, it will not be over the top.
Got it.
Okay, so I will not serve a show penalty of that nature. I will not be fired. I am still around. As much as people may want that.
No.
So, damn, I was hoping I'd benefit.
Good thing you weren't here on Friday, because Louie was fully lobbying.
Whose side is he on? Anyhow, John Sterling, ladies and gentlemen, I thought had one of the great weekends of all time. Now, before we get into some of the great calls from John, let's get to the Soto home run. Now, you may have heard this. I know the morning show played it this morning. You may have heard it on social media. But if you're not, if you're in your car, you're at work, and you're like, what did he do for Juan Soto? Ladies and gentlemen, John Sterling calling Juan Soto's first home run as a New York Yankee.
Hit in the air down the left field line toward the wall. It's gone. It went over the high wall. Juan Soto's first home run as a Yankee. A fly ball down the left field line. There is a Soto photo, a home run in the left field seats. He's wonderful, marvelous.
See, can I defend John?
The wonderful, marvelous I got.
It's great.
The Soto photo.
The Soto photo's a dud. No, yeah. We all know that. Like the Soto photo, because we read one of the many, many tweets we read last week concerning ideas.
Yes.
Had Soto photo, and we were all like, eh, what does that even mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't do anything.
It's not a photo. It's an actual moving, right? It's a moving object flying over a wall.
But we shouldn't take the Soto photo to ruin the rest of it.
Yes.
Because him singing It's Wonderful.
Yes.
It's tremendous.
It's marvelous.
He can do without the marvelous, though.
Why?
I think
why?
You got to go full
blown. Because it adds to the song.
It's a wonderful world. Give me that. Don't go, it's wonderful. It's marvelous.
But isn't that a different song?
Yes, it is.
Some song nobody's ever heard of.
No, I mean, I recognize it, so I've definitely heard it. I have no idea what it's called.
Well, what is the song? It's a wonderful world. Who does that song? Is that Sinatra?
The one that we thought was the astronaut. Louis Armstrong.
Oh, Lou Armstrong?
Yeah.
Louis Armstrong? I like John singing, bro.
But I think that it's wonderful. It's marvelous. That's something else.
But it is. He
but
can
I don't
do both.
Know, I don't know what. See if you can find it. What it is, Sean.
As long as he dumps the Soto photo, I thought the rest of his call was tremendous, but not as good as his base hit. Here's the bit. You got the base hit, Loogie, from Sunday, the big Juan Soto hit. What I thought what made John great is that he represented every Yankee fan with the emotion he had after this Soto base hit.
Now here's big pitch. There goes Torres, the third pitch. Line, base hit, left field. How do you like that? Torres scores. The Yankees take a 4-3 lead. Oh, is he good? Oh, do we love Soto.
I love the, oh, is he good? And he's smacking the table.
Well, the smacking of the table may have been Susan.
Oh, really?
It may have been Susan.
Yeah, because sometimes Susan gets the audible. Like, you hear her, but you don't necessarily hear. You don't hear the smacking
the
of the
only
table.
Possibility, though, is that Susan goes down for the post-game interview in the ninth inning, and that hit was in the top of the ninth inning. So it's possible Susan wasn't there, but someone was doing some banging in that booth. Was it Susan? Was it? I don't know, but I agree. The banging added to it.
The banging added to
and
it.
And him just
definitely.
Proclaiming, we love Soto. He's a cleaner version of Joe's McFly. Because that Joe is the clip we played earlier,
yeah,
if you missed it.
Was the same emotion.
Was the same emotion on the same play, which is, oh my God. Like, Joe's is saying Juan Soto is him. John doesn't know what that means. So John is just simply saying, we love Juan Soto. But that wasn't the best part.
Oh.
The best part was the final call of the sweep. Close your eyes, Yankee fans, and imagine you beat the Astros to win the American League pennant.
I have not heard this yet because I was watching it on television.
Okay.
I have not heard this.
This is going to set. Close your eyes. I guarantee it's going to feel like you won the American League pennant. John Sterling, big spot. Clay Holmes gets in trouble. We all think he's blowing the game. Let's be honest. And then
by the
he
way,
finds.
If you're driving, don't close your eyes.
Yeah, don't go. If you're driving, keep your eyes open. Unless you're in the passenger seat, then you can close your eyes. Or if you're at a red light, you close your eyes for like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And if someone honks, use this phrase. Now that your horn blows, try. Anyhow, here he is, John Sterling.
Tucker, 2-for-3 with a walk. Pitch. Swung on line to left. Verdugo makes the exciting catch. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
Oh, he gave that a little extra.
Oh, did
he? Couple more.
That was fully involved. You know what I mean?
That was epic.
That call signals the Yankees are back. Right there. John's feeling it. That's a... Yeah, that, we haven't heard of that long since what? 96?
Dude, I haven't heard of what that long or the that long in years. And think about, like, as Verdugo's sliding, he can't even get the words out.
Yeah,
he's so excited.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he thought, every Yankee fan's got to admit this, game one you thought you were dead, down 4-0, and I think you thought Clay was blowing game four.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And I think what you thought was, all right, we're going to win 3 out of 4, it's going to be disappointing, but, you know, what a crappy way to have this series end. Because Clay was shaky this weekend, not to pour any, salt on the wounds or rain on the umbrella, whatever the hell it
Everybody
is.
Everybody else was great, except for Clay.
Yeah, we needed
No strikeouts, 5 hits, whatever it was.
Three wonderful, marvelous plays defensively in the ninth last night.
But either way, I think we all knew Clay, we thought Clay Holmes was blowing that game. And so as that ball is in the air, or even the one before that Judge caught up the wall, you're thinking, all right, well, this sucks. We did win 3 out of 4. And I think John's thinking that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameTip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And that's way off the bat. He can't even get the words out before he's like, just love it. Marvelous weekend by John Sterling. So don't let the Soto photo kill it, all right? He was at his best.
By the way, the song that we were thinking of, Tony Bennett.
Well, McMonagle is telling us Ira and George Gershwin. So maybe Gershwin? Tony Bennett redid?
Maybe. I don't know. Aren't they producers?
Bottom line is this. This song's 80 years old. Enough.
So Mac just texted us. Those are the writers, Ira and George Gershwin.
Right, yeah, the writers.
Okay.
Tony Bennett didn't write his own music?
Whatever.
What, are you new to this?
You think Taylor Swift writes her own music, don't you?
Yeah, she does, actually. No, she does. Okay. What's up with Jeff McNeil coming out to Taylor Swift, by the way? He comes out to Welcome to New York as if he just got here. For some reason, that annoyed me over the weekend. Let's go to Mike in Elmont, New York. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, man?
Yo. I am a very, very disappointed Mets fan, honestly. I was there on Friday. I was so super excited. I'll say the only good thing about the game is that I bought the cheapest ticket, and I never sat in the section I was sitting in. I think it was 536. I was hot, and it was no wind. I was taking my jacket off.
Well, hold on
off,
a second. You were so hot on opening day? Yeah, that is like the exact opposite experience of like 80% of the people that were there.
Where were you sitting,
the whole, Mike? I'm telling you, I was in 536, the whole section. The guy behind me's like, God, I got to take off my jacket, man. It's getting hot.
And were you blocked from the wind by something?
It was not. Honestly, once you got into the stadium to get a hot dog, it was like a different world. It was cold. People were getting hot chocolates, but I mean, other than that, it was warm. That was the only positive, and I spent the least amount of money, so that was good.
That's okay. You know what? That's a positive. Lineup,
you were in direct sunlight, lineup, I'm taking it.
Yes.
When I saw the lineup and Jeff McNeil is batting fourth, I'm sorry, but what is going on? Why is he getting so many at-bats?
Because J.D. Martinez needs another five or six days.
He's rolling over, popping up. I have had it with Jeff McNeil. I'm sorry. I hate to say this, but he's got to go.
Well, he's not going.
I'd rather see Vientos do that.
Well, let's not get nuts. He's off to a terrible start, like Lindor is, like Nimmo is. As far as the cleanup spot's concerned, the New York Mets cleanup spot over the weekend went 0-13. They did not produce. Jeff McNeil was a part of that. So was Tyrone Taylor. So was DJ Stewart. What annoyed me even more was on Saturday, he hits Tyrone Taylor cleanup, then pinch hits for him late in the game with DJ Stewart. So late in the game, down by a run, after Alonso hits a home run to get him within one, guess who's up with one out and nobody on down a run in the ninth inning? DJ Stewart. Mm-hmm. If Francisco Alvarez is batting cleanup, as I have said many, many times, Alvarez comes up.
You're right.
And he's got a better shot of that dramatic getting into one moment than DJ Stewart, who looks lost at the plate.
What day did he DH, too? Was the game
Sunday?
Sunday, Alvarez DH.
Yes, and Narvaez caught.
So it would have been a perfect opportunity to do so.
Well, it was Saturday. Saturday is when Alvarez was batting seventh. The problem is he's got to move up in the batting order. And look, is this the reason they lost all three games? I don't think it is. You need your key guys to perform at a higher level.
But
the cleanup idea on Saturday, to me, effed them even more. Mm-hmm. Because instead of Alvarez, you had Tyrone Taylor and DJ Stewart. Yeah. I can accept Jeff McNeil because he is a professional hitter despite his slow start.
Yeah, so I listened to a little bit of Joe on Saturday, Beningo, on Saturday. And he was talking about Martinez, J.D. Martinez.
Yes.
And why it takes so long for J.D. Martinez to get Major League Baseball ready.
Yes.
Like, what has he been doing this entire offseason?
I don't get it.
I mean, not doing anything, not even going to the local batting cage, right? Not finding a buddy to throw him some fungos. Like, what has he been doing?
We're talking four at-bats a day. He doesn't even play the field.
Right. What is he doing that he needs to be in the minor leagues for 2 weeks?
Yes.
It doesn't make sense. And I kind of agreed with Joe as he started to rant on this thing for a long time. I wonder, though, if at some point, because what'd you say, 0-13?
Mm-hmm.
The DH has been 0-13, or at least the cleanup has been 0-13. Do they accelerate that?
They can't. There's a 10-day window where the guy has to stay in the minor leagues. I guess that could change with an injury and McGill got hurt, but they already called up a pitcher. So I guess if there was a phantom IL stint for DJ Stewart, they could probably accelerate it with J.D. Martinez.
Didn't they do that already?
Yeah.
At the beginning of the year?
We think they did with Sean Reed Foley.
Right.
But
It's April Fool's before you give any breaking news.
We are aware. We're okay. Two grown adults that are aware what April 1st is.
Right, go ahead.
No, it just ties into the caller. If you are anti-Jeff McNeil and anti-him cleanup, guess what? You get your wish. His sickness will took us tonight out.
He's not even playing tonight.
Not even playing tonight. We have the Met lineup if you care.
Mm. Why is he not playing tonight? I'd stick his ass. Is he hurt too?
We have no update on her.
Look, as down as people may be on McNeil, he's off to an awful start. I get it. But I want him out there every freaking day, especially when you need wins. So unless you're telling me there's an injury, because an off day doesn't make sense, because they're probably not even playing tomorrow on Wednesday.
Bingo.
What?
No, like that's also they may not play.
So they're making him take an extended break.
No,
so,
I'm assuming he's hurt. That's what I'm assuming.
Well, here you go. Here's the lineup. Nimmo's going to lead off and left. Lindor batting second. Alonso Alvarez will clean up.
I got my wish, ladies and gentlemen. Yes!
DJ Stewart DHs will bat fifth. Then you go Marte, Beatty, Bader, and your Met debut for Joey Wendell at second base.
Yeah. No, it's not about getting guys in because you want to get guys in early. So Joey Wendell, plan on having an issue with it and all that. It's that reeks of something's wrong with him. Remember, he had the injury. He's playing with a partially torn UCL. So keep an eye on that before we hear Jeff McNeil's going for a precautionary MRI. And I'm not suggesting he's definitely hurt. I'm just following the tea leaves here. You've only played three games. You really need an off day? With three games into the season. And they're likely to not even play the rest of the week because of how bad the weather is. Mm. So, I get this sense that the Met fan is out for Jeff McNeil. They have turned on him. They do not like Jeff McNeil. I'm just calling it like it is right now. He's still one of their better players. They need him in the freaking lineup. But I am glad that Francisco Alvarez has earned that cleanup spot. It's very similar to the Oswaldo Cabrera stuff with the Yankees, where Oswaldo has one good day and Aaron Boone says, you know what, I'm going to reward you by playing you every day. Francisco Alvarez is one of the few guys in this lineup, Pete Alonso included, Starling Marte as well, who looks good.
Yeah.
So reward him by moving him up in the lineup.
Well, also the beauty of him being able to DH when he's not catching makes it consistent, right? Until you get J.D. Martinez, it gives you someone consistent you can throw right there. Hopefully he performs there.
Yeah, right, because he's going to play every day, as we saw Sunday.
Right.
Let's go to Anthony calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Anthony?
What up, dude?
What's up?
One thing I hope you guys have noticed is there's a certain thing going on right now with the Yankees. They're enjoying themselves. The first play that Soto made when he threw out the runner at home on Friday night, Judge was out there standing next to him when they were reviewing the play, congratulating him. Okay? You didn't see that in years past with Judge. They stood in their separate, entities. They might have chatted a little bit. But when you got Judge slapping Soto in the stomach with his glove, telling him what a good job or a power or whatever it was, there's a certain amount of intensity that they're playing with right now. And I think that's where we're going to take this season to.
Well, I think what really helps, Anthony, in my opinion, is some guys may be threatened by a guy coming to their team and arguably being a better player.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could sit here, we're not going to do it, and argue, hey, Juan Soto is the better player than Aaron Judge. It's actually a fine baseball argument. Maybe we'll do it on the Hensley-Mulin someday. Aaron Judge could take it and say, I'm a little threatened by him. I like him. Mm-hmm. Makes our team better, but I don't know. I'm the guy. I'm the alpha. Yeah. I'm the man. And I think Aaron Judge, as of right now, looks at it as, thank God I have help. Mm. Because I've known for years that I've had to carry this team in a way that is not even normal. Like, I thought his MVP 2 years ago was one of the most valuable MVP seasons of all time because the rest of the Yankee lineup was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron Judge needed a historic season to carry them to where they got. So I think a part of me is Judge looking over at Soto saying, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah, I wonder if that exists in baseball the way that it does in football. Like, in football, it clearly is a guy who is the man. And you see it, like, bickering. You see diva wide receivers. You see guys saying, give me the ball. I want the ball. You don't really get that in baseball, though. So I know what you're saying about Aaron Judge, but I think you'd be hard to find teams that have multiple superstars that there's a jealousy factor.
Oh, really? You want an example?
Don't talk about the Mets.
No, I'm not talking about the
Go
Mets.
Go ahead.
I'm not talking about the Mets at all. In fact, I'm looking over your shoulder, right, Sean? Uh-huh. Looking over his shoulder, aren't I? I'm staring at something else. I'm staring at something very beautiful in this FAN studio.
The Alex Rodriguez, Derek Jeter rivalry.
In fact, I'm not going to add anything to this. Sean, the floor is yours.
I remember when before they became teammates,
yes.
It's like they loved each other.
Yeah, well,
they were posing together without shirts on.
Then they had that article that came out where A-Rod took shots at him.
Yeah, but he also didn't try to play shortstop when he came to the Yankees.
Well, that's where Jeter was an egotistical maniac and couldn't let
Okay, I know what you're saying. Jeter... as much as we maybe want to believe he's an egotistical maniac, I've never, ever experienced that.
He admitted though.
No, he said, I don't know if I could have moved the third. But it's not like he said, I hate Alex Rodriguez, and I hate that he's on my team.
But you don't you think approaching a teammate that is that special a caliber and saying, why would you do that? Why, like he said, why would you do that? He may not be even knowing or admitting, like, that is an insane ego thing to do where you don't know that you could
but I also
question why somebody else would.
But I also don't feel like, I mean, I guess they were contemporaries, but they feel different. You know what I mean? Because he had been here, Jeets had been here for so long.
Yeah.
Like, I know Alex was great. He was just coming off the MVP and everything else and yada, yada. But it never felt like, at least to me, that there was a rivalry where they didn't, like, they weren't going to perform well together. You know what I mean?
You know, and I agree. And I think that's why this is a little different. But I think there's a part of Jeter where maybe he was just self-conscious about the internal, like, what people wrote about
I just want to stop this. Yeah. I apologize. I somehow turned the Yankees being 4-0. Juan Soto's amazing. Yeah, and I lit a fire of A-Rod versus Jeter.
But that's not
I take all that back.
But that's not what's going on here. And by the way, the weekend Juan Soto did and the camaraderie they had, like, the Yankee first April with A-Rod was a disaster.
No, and
we've already escaped that, it feels like.
And I think Aaron Judge, who had, I don't want to say a lost weekend, but he didn't have a great weekend. Mm-mm. He didn't have to carry the team. I think Aaron Judge is a human being that's had to carry the team the last few years, looks around and says, I don't have to do that anymore. And one of the main reasons, and it's only four games, I got a long way to go, why I was so bullish and am so bullish on the New York Yankees is that they are Aaron Judge proof. It's not that they don't need him. Mm-hmm. It's that they don't need him every freaking day to be the one to get the big hit, to be the one to make the great defensive player. Like Juan Soto, to quote Joe's McFly, is him. And so it allows other players to help you win. Think about it. The New York Yankees just had a weekend in Houston, Texas, in which Aaron Judge offensively didn't do that much. And they won all four games. Juan Soto, amongst others, Alex Verdugo too, Oswaldo Cabrera being off to a great start, has made the Yankees this season in 2024 judge-proof. If he goes on the DL for 2 weeks, they're not going to shrink up and go away. Like, they are truly better than that. And that's one of the exciting, and now you get to test yourself against the reigning and defending 3-1 National League champion Diamondbacks. And how many of you are actually going to see it? With the game starting at 9:40 at night.
Oh, we're giddy now. We all stay up tonight.
Right.
Let's go. We're
going to
sweep their asses.
Two innings.
Two innings?
I said a few innings.
That's it?
I mean, it's late.
Come on. You can wake up late. I mean, really, you can't. Like, we can wake up late because we're on the air later, but I ain't waking up late. I got to wake up and, you know, take care of my kids.
Yeah, exactly.
You so
sub-10-year-olds, but guess what? They're out of bed early.
But guess what? I'm going to be glued to this game tonight. In fact, I'm even thinking about scoring. I'm thinking of doing a little scoring doubleheader.
Scoring the Yankees?
Yeah, I do that sometimes. Yeah. Mets early, Yankees late.
We working on my Yankees Bible?
No, but I did make a big change in my scorebook this year. For the first time since 1997, I do not write interleague play when it's interleague play.
Huh.
Because to me, Yankees Diamondbacks doesn't even feel like interleague play, and Mets Tigers doesn't feel like. Does anyone give a rat's ass that it's interleague play tonight?
I can't think of the last time I've heard that phrase. Until you just said it.
Yeah, you probably
I haven't heard it in at least 2 years.
That's true. You may have overheard me saying it as I was writing it down in my scorebook late last year.
No, I thought maybe you were going to say, I'm using pencil.
Well, that's crazy. Who the hell would do that? That's insane. Let's go to our buddy Ozzie in Woodridge. What's up, Ozzie?
Hello, everybody.
What up?
You had a happy Easter.
Well, Ozzy, I didn't have a great Easter, and it's all because of you.
Ooh.
Okay? On Friday night, I went to Joe Beningo's podcast event. There was a great turnout. We had a wonderful time, and I was promised that not only would Ozzy be there, but Mrs. Ozzy would be there, too.
Mm.
And where the hell were you?
We were there, but we were in a line that was 10 wide and, like, 25 yards deep.
So
I wasn't going to make my wife stand there behind all of that.
Why not?
Just so I can listen to you two bloviate. So we went to the little Mexican restaurant.
Wow. So you said, I'm done with Beningo's podcast event. I'm done here in Joe. I'm done here in Evan. I'm going to go eat Mexican food in Hackensack, New Jersey.
Yeah, if I wasn't with my mi esposa, I would have stayed. But I said, I'm not going to do that to her, make her stand there in a crowd of smelly sports guys. guide like myself, so we left.
So does that mean you will be showing up in Staten Island on April 10th at Barnes & Noble's for the big My Mets Bible on sale tomorrow book event featuring me and Tiki? Will you be there?
I went to Staten Island once. Never again.
Never again? Wow. What's so wrong with Staten Island the one time you went?
If I want to go and experience Staten Island, I'll go stand outside by my garbage in the middle of summer and just take in the smells and the sights.
Stop.
See, I would join in normally, but I don't want to rip Staten Island. I love Staten Island. It's my favorite borough after Brooklyn and Manhattan.
A lot of Mets fans over there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Ozzie, what's on your mind, pal?
Who am I to talk, though? I'm in the two towns removed from the swamps of New Jersey over here by MetLife, so I can't really, like, that's like the pot calling the kettle black for me.
I understand.
Ev, that was a cute, forced, insincere, non-believable apology by both you and Spike.
Huh? So. At least they did it.
I don't know what you're talking about. It was very believable and very honest, and it was heartfelt. Yes.
This is not an April Fool's gimmick from this year-round fool, but Sean, I have a newfound respect for you.
Oh.
Why? He took off on opening day. I actually didn't. I came to work for 2 hours.
No, well, he had a family event. I hope it was blessed, and I hope the new married couple has a blessed life together. But the show turned into a telenovela without the hot Latinas Calientes, without Sean there.
That's a good point. Sean, you would have saved the show that day.
Right.
I probably would have. But you know what? In many, many ways, I'm happy it burned to the ground.
Yeah. Tiki stays strong, fuerte. El jefe malo Spike went all gringo loco. El pequeño rojo got all little tough guy. Y finalmente, the twist, Tomas. Two-Face stabbed Evan in the back.
Oh,
sorry! And over Two-Face.
All right, Ozzie.
I like
thank
that,
you very
Ozzie.
Much.
Jeez. Tomas Two-Face.
Tomas Two-Face. Should that be your new name, Luke? Tomas Two-Face?
I don't think so. And I got to respond to this because everybody's called me a rat or a snake. What did I do? I was up front with it. So I said what I had to say on the air. It's not like I went behind Evan's back. I said it on the radio. It's not like I was like...
You did say it kind of loudly.
Politicking behind his back. So I stand by everything I said on front.
Tomas Two-Face. Well, if you missed it, you can always check out the WFAN podcast. Or you can rewind until 3 o'clock and you can hear the very sincere apology that Spike had and I had. We'll get back to your calls in a second, 877-337-6666. And you may have witnessed it. You may have seen it. You may have missed it. If you haven't, I will inform you that there was a mistake during a baseball broadcast over the weekend that actually could bring baseball to new heights if baseball decided to make it permanent. Well, for half the city, you're thrilled baseball's back because the New York Yankees are 4-0 and they look unbeatable. For the other half of the city, you're already thinking about football season because the New York Mets are 0-3.
Stop.
I mean, there are Mets fans who feel that way. I'm not giving up. If I had optimism before the season, which I did, I'm not giving up off a bad start, but there are a lot of Mets fans that feel that way, which means they may not want to watch baseball come April 15th. But I did discover something last night that I think could save baseball. That I think could make the viewing experience of Major League Baseball and bring it to another level.
Okay.
So last night, and I was not watching this game live. I was in Brooklyn to see LeBron James put on a show. And by the way, good job out of LeBron. He did put on a show.
40, so, right?
40 most threes ever in a game. And I got to take my 7-year-old to his first and only time seeing LeBron James. So thank you, LeBron.
At least he saw him.
What was that?
At least he saw him.
No, he saw him. He saw him play great.
Is he a Laker fan now?
No. He was sitting there rooting for the Nets, even though he knew the outcome, unfortunately. But last night, the Dodgers were playing the Cardinals in Sunday Night Baseball. And they mic up players now. They've been doing this for a couple years where they'll mic a player up, and then they'll interview him in the midst of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So they did that the other night, and Kiki Hernandez was the guy that was mic'd up. And we accidentally heard pitch comm, which means before a few pitches, we heard, clear as day, change up. And here comes the 3-2 pitch to Nolan Arenado.
Huh.
And I have to tell you, if you put baseball on a delay, that's the key, because you can't have it in real time. If you put it on a delay of 5 seconds, wouldn't that be freaking awesome? Like, would that not be amazing if, as we're watching a game, we know the pitch that's coming?
No, you know why you can never do it?
Why is that?
Because the gambling sites it would kill their business.
How would it though? You wouldn't know it, like, because of the delay. The pitch already happened, so we as viewers aren't hearing it until the result has already occurred.
Yeah.
And there's no signs to steal anymore because of PitchCom. Like, you're literally pressing a button. I've thought about this. Yeah, I don't see a downside.
But doesn't in-game wagering happen based on the TV?
Well, no. In-game wagering happens, but you can't do something after it's occurred. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
If you put this on a delay.
Has it gotten to the point where you can predict pitches? I don't know.
Pitches, but the outcome of an at-bat.
Yes, and Tiki, honestly, the way it's worked now, especially with a lot of people streaming, you are behind if you look at that app. Like, for a good at-bat, you could be behind at times.
Right, right.
Or multiple pitches.
Like, truthfully, when you try to live bet a game, and I did a few plays in Saturday's game, I'm not even kidding you, you have to do it an at-bat before. Like, you can't even do it as the at-bat is occurring. So there's no gambling issue. Mm. There's no giving the team any kind of advantage issue. In fact, there's no issue. What it really comes down to is, do you think baseball becomes more compelling as you're watching the game, you know the pitch that's coming?
No, I don't know. So let me ask you, because you actually watched this.
Yeah.
So you watched it and you knew a changeup was coming.
Yes.
Did it make you more interested to see where that changeup was going or how he threw it? Or
it was too brief for me to form like a full opinion on if it was every single play, but I thought it was cool. And I thought the idea of it was very unique and different. It is very different. I'll ask you this way. How about this? I'll put it in your world, your terms. Football. We know the play that's coming. Mm. Somehow, some way. Now, I don't know how you would do that, but we know before the snap, and again, you're on 5 second delay. Okay, this is a run. Okay, this is a play action. Okay, this is a. Like, what would that do to a football game if we knew the play a second and a half before it was about to occur?
It would make you immediately go to where the play is supposed to go. So you'd be watching it. So sometimes watching any sport, baseball's different because you don't really miss anything. Like, you're not going to miss Pete Alonso grounding out to second base like we just saw in SNY Encore. Right? You're not going to miss that. But in football, you could completely miss how a play develops because you have no idea.
So you think it's distracting you by doing that?
I think it would actually put you where your eyes should go.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, double move on the backside. Tyreek Hill does an out and up, whatever. Keep it simple, an out and up. But you're watching the quarterback who's looking the other way, who's trying to throw him off. Instead, he comes back, he throws a pump and throws a bomb. I'm like, man, how do you get so wide open?
Right.
But we're watching the quarterback, or we're watching where the TV is kind of directing your eye. If you knew where the play was supposed to go, you'd be looking at Tyreek Hill the whole time.
Sounds like you like this idea.
I mean, I think I would. Football, I definitely would.
But
baseball, I don't know. If I knew that a fastball is coming or a slider or whatever it may be, I don't think that's going to change what I'm watching.
Okay, so what that proves to me then is no harm, no foul. There's no negative to it.
No,
you just wouldn't care. Okay.
Of course not.
I think for the baseball fan, maybe you'd care. Maybe you'd say, oh, this is kind of interesting. I think that is so. Look, you got to be unique and different to break through in baseball right now because baseball is a sport. I don't want to say it's dying, but it's just kind of there. We love it in New York, but it's not the NFL. It's not growing at that same rate. And so the way we consume games can somehow change how much we want to consume a game.
But can't,
so that's why I think of it when I saw it last night. And I was like, wait a second, there could be something there.
But I think about baseball and I think about, if I just wanted to, because this is the only thing you could do is the pitch. Like, what else could you predict? A steal, I guess?
But, yeah, I guess, or a pickoff.
Right, but you can almost kind of guess based on where the catcher's lined up and what he's doing with his glove as the pitch is getting ready to come. You're like, all right, that's going to be a fastball. All right, that's going to be high and outside. Oh, this is a slider because he's sticking his glove down in a way. You can almost do that already.
Right.
But you don't know if you're going to be right.
So do you like the idea or not? He likes it in football. He says it's no difference in baseball.
Yeah.
Hey, at least I gave you a football idea.
I don't think I would love it in baseball. It wouldn't do anything.
See, I think people would hate it in football and be okay with it in baseball. Because in football, we don't want to know what's about to happen. It's like unbecoming. Let me be surprised at what's going to happen. I don't want to know what play call to look. I just want to see it develop. In baseball, frankly, you know, we're all knuckleheads and we love this. How many people sit down and actually know the difference between a sinker and a slider? But if they're told it's coming and then they learn that, I think it would only enhance kind of some of the casuals in baseball. Be like, okay, that's what that really means. That's
as
what that
opposed
looks like.
To after the fact when the pitch has already occurred and now you're being told, oh, that was a slider.
Yeah, and you forgot what it looked like.
Exactly.
I think ESPN hit on something unbelievable by accident. I think they've got the future of broadcasting baseball. We tap into PitchCom, And we know what's happening. And we hear it from that same voice. Because the voice, too, that you heard on ESPN last night was very like, change up.
It's like very dramatic.
I thought they were picking up the press box. You know when sometimes you hear that in the background where they let you know what's going on?
Yeah, yeah.
I watched last night because I finally had some peace and quiet from my kids. And I swear to you, until you said that, I'm like, oh, that's what that was.
Look
I
at you. Press box. You were sitting down watching Cardinals-Dodgers on a Sunday night?
I certainly wasn't watching the Nets lose by 50 at that point.
Well,
and everybody had packed up for the night. And I was like, I'm sitting down enjoying baseball.
I do have a confession about LeBron James and the Lakers last night. And I don't know if I should admit this, but I'm going to admit this. So yesterday, I took my wife and my two sons to the Mets game. And they had a great time. You know, Citi Field can be a fun experience for kids. We upgraded the seats, sat in the all-you-could-eat section at the Hyundai Close. It was a great time. Everybody had a great time. And then me and Jet, my oldest, went to Barclays Center to see Nets-Lakers, with my thought being this is his chance to see LeBron James. I don't know if we're ever going to see him again. Now, I've seen him many times, but this is for him. This is so that he could tell his kids someday, I saw arguably, and I'm not trying to get into this argument, the greatest player of all time.
So this is a whole dad and son weekend. First, you skip our show for our opening day with your dad. Then you take your kids to Mets. And
I skipped Mets. Part of the show on opening day. Yes. No, I was giving back to my son.
Dad and son.
But here's the confession. And look, the tickets for Nets-Lakers was like the hottest thing in the world. Like the secondary market was stupid. A guy walked in with a Kobe jersey saying, yeah, my kids ain't going to college, but I'm seeing LeBron. And we all cracked up, but there was some truth to that. So it cost them, for me, it didn't cost much more. It's just my ticket.
Yeah.
But what I guess I could have made. So we're at the game. The Nets are getting their ass kicked. LeBron's okay. And at halftime, I did something so horrible. I said, Jet, it's been a very long day. You got to see LeBron James. If you want to go, that's okay.
Mm. What?
That's right.
And did he want to leave?
Jet looks up at me and says, why would we want to go? Let's finish this. And I was like, holy crap.
Right. And they came back a little bit.
Forget the Nets coming back. Forget that part. LeBron James put on a show.
Oh, I see.
His performance in the middle part of the fourth quarter that put the game away, I would admit, was almost iconic. And if you're a 7-year-old or you're a 50-year-old who had never seen LeBron play, I commend you, King James. That was kingly. Mm. That was a big time, I know people have never seen me before and may never see me again kind of performance. So two things that I feel dirty about. Number one, I offered him to leave. Me! And then number two, as much as I didn't enjoy LeBron's performance, I appreciated it.
Well, LeBron,
I appreciated it for Jet and for anyone else that was in that building. Because quite frankly, what was that win getting me if the Nets had won the game? What the hell was it getting me?
Tiki, this is all over the place, though.
What?
He can't come to work because it's so important to get to a meaningless Met game early in the year. But then punts on possibly selling his tickets for $1,000 a piece.
A mint.
To take his son to Barclays on Easter Sunday night.
Yes.
And then turn him at halftime and say, you want to get the heck out of here?
Yeah, right.
And then your thought process on when and when not to be in stadiums feels all over the map, dude. There's no consistency.
And then you're just throwing platitudes at LeBron because he put on an unbelievable second
because
half
he did,
and fourth quarter performance against the Nets.
I know, but he did it. You know what? It's look, the Nets suck, okay?
LeBron was able to put on such a performance.
That's fine. They're not even in the league. Winning
the Nets still in the league.
Thank you, Boom. Now, winning that game yesterday would have done absolutely nothing for me. So don't, like, ridicule my fandom here. And I'm not saying I was rooting for LeBron. I wasn't. What I'm saying is I appreciated what he did, not only for my son, but for anybody who dropped $800 to be in the building. Like, people did that. I know we're not paying attention to it because it doesn't matter who cares about the game. I'm not saying you should care about the game, but there were people, maybe some listening right now, that dropped an absurd amount of money to see LeBron James. And what I just said right now is the way they felt. Hey, LeBron, I appreciate that. By the way, LeBron, that was something. Not even a Laker fan, but thank you for that. And I'm showing that appreciation not only for my son, but for everybody else.
How many people left?
Nobody.
Nobody left.
We would have been the only ones.
We would have been the only ones leaving.
Oh, my God. But we didn't leave because this was, I was doing this for him.
I'm proud of your son.
Was I at Barclays Center to see Nets Lakers on a Sunday night? Was I?
Well.
Yeah, because if it was me, it would have been like, all right, Jet, hope you had a good time. We're out.
I wouldn't do that. I would not tell him. I gave him the option. And he made one of the great life decisions he's ever made.
I'm saying, would I, if hey, you're going to go to the game with Uncle Tiki, right? It would have been like, Jet, we're out. Sorry, kid.
See, I couldn't do that. And I didn't even push him. Like, as soon as he said, no, we're staying, I'm like, let's go. That's okay, great. Let's go back up.
You reward him. But the thing is, did he go to school today telling all his friends he saw Cam Thomas put on a show?
I think he is, actually. He was very impressed with Cam Thomas. There you go. He took that away from it. Let's go to Kevin in Cranford, New Jersey. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, guys, what's going on? Thanks again for taking my call.
Welcome.
No problem.
Always love listening to you, especially Tiki and Evan. Evan, I've actually never met you. I've met everybody on the fan besides you.
Oh, nice.
Well, come on out to Staten Island on April 10th or Long Island City, Queens on April 12th.
No, I'm coming tomorrow.
You're coming where tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Oh, no, well, I'm coming to the first day of the book signing.
Oh, no, I don't have a book signing tomorrow. The book is on sale tomorrow, but the first book signing I'm doing is April 10th.
All right, I'll be there that first day.
I appreciate it.
If you want to come to WFAN and pick up a book.
That's true, yeah. I guess I'll handle it.
No, I'll do that.
I got a few over here. Yeah, why not?
I'll come and do that. I want to thank Tommy for letting me back on. He always lets me on the Lugar, which is great. So,
look at that. He's a kind man, that Tommy.
Yeah, and Tommy did a great job filling in for you when you that was a little ridiculous the other day, dude.
Which part?
Dolphin? It kind of was. So I was calling Tommy again. I'm not going to hold you guys up, but I was calling on the whole thing with I'm a Red Sox fan, but I'm watching what the Yankees are doing. Mm. And it is that whole thing with Mookie Betts, the J.D. Martinez, and Verdugo. You win, you dance, you repeat, and that's what they're doing in the outfield. And they're already starting from the first, four games?
Yeah. I think it's cool. Absolutely great, Kevin, but there was a time in which Yankee fans would not like that. There was a time in which Yankee fans would frown on the dancing and the celebrating and the histrionics.
I don't think the current Yankee fan thinks that at all.
No, no, no. I didn't say the current Yankee fan. I mean, I'm not saying Joe's McFly necessarily feels that way or even Sean Morash, but there was a time 10 years ago where if another team did that, in fact, I remember that time when another team did it, it made you guys sick. And now that it's your team, you like it.
Yeah, but I
didn't like when the Mets did it in 06. I mean, you didn't like Reyes and Beltran, specifically Reyes dancing outside the dugout. You didn't like it. You probably said things about that. Mm-hmm. But here's the truth about sports. Sports makes you feel differently when it's your team.
Dude, sports only matters. It makes you feel differently when you win. When you win, anything goes. Do whatever you want when you're winning.
And you're 100% right. And also, Evan, it's the parallel of the Yankees got stale. The Yankees got boring.
No, and I'm glad you've come to that conclusion, by the way. I'm not saying this in any kind of negative way. I'm saying that understand how you guys have evolved on this, too. Yes, it's 2024. Yeah. Let the kids have fun. Juan Soto is what's great about baseball. Yeah. I'll be the first to tell you that.
I don't think we're disagreeing. I think we're actually saying the same thing. Yeah. I think the challenge is that the characters got stale. I'm not talking about the performance of Gallo and Hicks and all those, but like the character was just the same character.
Yeah.
Right. It's just a different, underperforming, same character. It's like I'm tired of seeing the same thing. Right. If Alex Verdugo is gonna suck, at least he's a different character than what we've looked at. You know what I mean? And so I think that's the difference. That's why you're accepting of the nouveau Yankee, because it's a different character.
Well, you're accepting it because you're winning and it's your team. Yeah, when it's a different team, it would drive you nuts. If this was the Mets, you'd be ripping it.
But I think
this is not Yankee like.
I think some of these guys just felt like different iterations, different guys, different iterations of the same thing. Mm. That's not what this is anymore. At least that's what it feels like after four games.
I got you. Let's go to Jody in Warren, New Jersey. What's up, Jody?
Hey, Evan, first of all, I just got notice Amazon's delivering my Mets Bible tomorrow.
Nice. Thank you. I appreciate that.
By the way, the Yankees, as a Mets fan since 1967, by the way, I'm jealous of the Yankees. They do have dogs. The Mets have kittens. And McNeil should be sat down for not punching Rhys Hoskins in the face. I mean, can you imagine if that was Kevin Mitchell back in the day? I just don't understand.
Yeah.
I mean, McNeil sit down. I mean, Evan, let me ask you a quick question. Who would you rather have right now? Hoskins on your team? Forget the fact you hate him. Or McNeil?
I get your question, because even though Jeff McNeil is a valuable baseball player, who I'm not going to crap on right now and answer that the way I know you want me to, let me acknowledge what you're saying and how I do agree with that part of it. Rhys Hoskins stood up this weekend. Mm-hmm. Rhys Hoskins... Yeah, in the moment, him and Jeff McNeil both had no interest in having a fight. Jeff could have attacked him right there. He didn't. Rhys could have done the baby things to his eyes right there. He didn't. But Rhys Hoskins spoke with his bat. And he spoke with his bat on Saturday. And for that, as much as I can't stand him, I have respect for him. He backed it up. So from the standpoint of Rhys Hoskins answered the call and Jeff McNeil went down with a whimper, yeah, I'd rather have that mentality. Who's the better baseball player? Well, okay, I think that's different. But I also think Jody brings up a great point. As much as we try to not compare ourselves, we naturally compare ourselves. We share a town. The Jets and the Giants, we compare the two teams when we're on the radio. Fair or not?
Yeah.
The Yankees and the Mets, we compare ourselves. So it's bad enough that the Mets are 0-3. It's bad enough that they got swept by the Brewers. But I think seeing kind of the ball-less attitude from the weekend in which they didn't respond, they respond in a clunky way, more on their response. We'll get to that right at 4 o'clock, the hitting and non-hitting of Rhys Hoskins and how everybody was killing him. I think it makes it worse. I think seeing the Yankees as this tough, resilient bunch and winning made this weekend for Met fans worse. Because that's the reality we live in. You can ignore them as much as you want. You can say all the right things. They're in a different league. It doesn't matter. I've said that before. But I also know they're in your face. So I think Jody's right that watching the Mets lay down, if that's the way you want to call it, or get swept by the Brewers, was made worse by what the Yankees did.
I don't know if it was made worse.
Lugie, was it worse for you because the Yankees swept the Astros?
It was the absolute worst possible weekend I could ever have. And I also moved. It was torture.
How are you affected by what the Yankees are doing? Simply because it feels good that the Yankees have spent their offseason the correct way?
For me personally, I'm in a group chat with all Yankee fans, including this idiot next to me. So I have to look down at my phone and live this on my phone.
But what did the Mets do this offseason that made you say, oh, yeah, we're really in line to do something?
Well, J.D. Martinez would be nice if he could get up here. I don't know what the hell he's working on. He's a DH.
That happened, a week ago?
Yeah.
Right?
So, but Spike, I'm about to call you Spike. I don't know what's on my mind. Tiki, I'll give you an example close to home. And Sean can help me out with this. Let's say you guys go into the football season next year with very limited expectations. Young quarterback, what do you expect? And obviously the Jet fan has huge expectations.
Of course.
And let's say the Jets start 3-0 and the Giants are 0-3, and you're in a text chat with a lot of Jet fans, and all they're doing is beating their chest. That 0-3 start for the Giants will feel worse, even though one thing has nothing to do with the other.
Yeah, it's like seeing pictures on Instagram of an awesome party all your friends are at that you weren't invited to.
I think it's a great comparison.
It's true.
But the thing is,
I'd rather be home anyway, so I don't care. It's a good example for most people. For me, I don't care.
But the truth is, one has nothing to do with the other, yet it made your weekend worse. And what made it even worse than that was the handling of drilling and not drilling Rhys Hoskins. We'll get into that coming up next, plus more of your calls at 877-337-6666. We'll get you set for tonight's Yankee Diamondback game. The Mets are scheduled to take on the Detroit Tigers at Citi Field. There's a lot of hockey tonight. There's a huge women's college basketball game. We'll shift towards that as the show rolls on. But what the Mets didn't do and what they should have done, we discuss it coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.